Well, amen. Let's go to Joshua chapter number 2. Book of Joshua chapter number 2. While you're finding your spot, there's a real dangerous thing taking place in our day and age. And it's coming on like gangbusters amongst Christians. And it's the matter that of experiencing God. By the way, there's nothing wrong with experiencing God. Amen, really. And to have the reality of God in our soul and to know His blessed presence. And, I mean, that's a tremendous thing. The problem that is taking place is the experience is going outside of the Word of God. That is not biblical, true, godly experience. Okay? And we need to be careful of the danger. It has invaded literally thousands of our churches today. And boy, we've got to stay within the boundaries of the Word of God. If I talk, and I did a couple weeks ago or last week, and mention about the experience that we ought to have in Christ, we must. It is there. It is for us, but it must be within the boundaries of the Word of God. Never underestimate that. We don't get experiences by making signs of the cross. We get experiences by sitting at the foot of the cross from the Word of God. Understand that. We don't get experiences by going through liturgical seances, if you please. We get it as we study the Word of God and allow the truth of God's Word to enter in our heart and our soul. So we're going to look this morning. We're going to look at a woman by the name of Rahab in the book of Joshua, chapter number 2. Book of Joshua, chapter number 2. I'm not sure how far I'm going to read in this story, but let's start in verse number 1. And the Bible says, "And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent of Shittim 2 men to spy secretly, saying, 'Go view the land, even Jericho.' And they went, and came into an harlot's house named Rahab, and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, 'Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country.' And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, 'Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country.' And the woman took the 2 men and hid them, and said thus, 'There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were.' And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house, and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan under the fords. And as soon as they were pursued after them, were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up to them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, 'I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the 2 kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father, my mother, my brethren, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death.' And men answered her, 'Our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee.' Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, 'Go, or get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may you go your way.' And the men said unto her, 'We will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, we come to the land. Thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou hast let us down by, And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren, all thy father's house, home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of the house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head. And we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be within the house, his blood shall be upon our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of this thine oath thou hast made us to swear. And she said, according to your word, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. Excuse me. And they went, and came to the mountain, and abode there 3 days, until the pursuers returned. And the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. So the two men returned, and descended from the mountain, and passed over, and came to Joshua the son of Nun, and told him all the things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that we can have in our hands this tremendous book we call the Bible, your word. Lord, we're so thankful that you inspired it, you preserved it, you've given this these words to us that we might hear. Oh God, I pray that you would now, through your Holy Spirit, help us to understand them. I pray that you would draw our hearts, our minds close and near unto you as we partake of your word, of the preaching of the word. Lord, you've said there's power in preaching. I still, after all these years, don't understand it. But what you've said is true. So we ask for that power to be brought forth today. And we just ask that our hearts and lives might be different as a result of this day together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing in honor of the Word of God. One of the most remarkable stories in the Word of God is found right here in Joshua chapter 2, and this woman named Rahab. Interesting to me that God directed two men to a harlot's house. God has divine appointments. And sometimes we don't understand why they're where they're at or how they come about. But God allows these things to take place. And they go to the harlot's house and they spend a night there. And this harlot, as we find from the Word of God, has accepted the God of Israel. We find as we study the Word of God, she's in the lineage of Jesus Christ. We find that she is the great-grandmother of David, the great king of Israel. She is included in the great hall of faith found in Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 31 says this in that chapter, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not, when she had received the spies with peace. Did you catch those first two words, by faith? Here's a woman, though she's a harlot, puts her trust in God. We will see Rahab in heaven. She is there enjoying the glories of Christ at this very moment, though she was a sinful woman. By the way, she's a picture of all of us. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I learned a long time ago, I have job security. There's sinners everywhere you look. I mean, when God said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, we haven't run out of them yet. Matter of fact, I think they're multiplying faster than we're reaching them. And what a job we have. What a privilege is ours to give that wonderful story. We find in this story of Rahab an illustration of the grace of God. I mean, it is set. I mean, stop and think about it. It is set amongst some of the most severe judgments that God has ever brought upon mankind. God has said to Israel, I want to take you into this promised land. But God had not only a purpose of bringing Israel into a land that had already been set up, but God had a dual purpose. You recognize, do you not, that God so often does two and three and four things at once? I mean, it's a marvelous to me how God can put so many things together at one time. And God is God. How else can we say it? Not only did God give Israel a land, but in the process of it, God is using these Jewish immigrants, if you please, if He's using these to come into this land to bring judgment upon some of the most wicked people in the land of the day. In all the world, we find that these Canaanites were extremely, extremely wicked. And so God has given to the Jew the responsibility to go in and basically bring death to everyone. The wages of sin, by the way, is death. Somebody said, well, why did God take Grandma? Well, Grandma sinned. And it's not God's fault. But death is what awaits us as a result. Judgment is what awaits us. And so judgment was upon them. But in the midst of this judgment, we find the grace of Almighty God. We're in a world today that I believe is about to be judged, but God's grace is still exceedingly abundant. How we ought to marvel at it. Oh, how we ought to be so thankful for it. And because of her faith, we find that Rahab is saved. But we also find her household is too, by faith. I want to stop and think about the faith of Rahab this morning. I want to stop and think about how did her faith come about. Well, the Bible says something in the book of Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Faith cometh by what, brethren? And hearing by the word of God. Faith, by the way, is not an entity in itself. Faith is something that you and I, it is a belief in something. We just don't believe, we believe in something. We can believe in a creed, we can believe in a person. I mean, we can believe so many different things. But it's not just belief. I mean, a lot of folks say, have faith, baby. Faith in what? It's who we have faith, it's what we have faith in that's very, very important. And so we find here that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith can never be exercised in that which we do not hear. That which we have not a knowledge of. Those we hear from have either witnessed an event or they have heard it from another themselves and believed it to be true and have passed it on. And so you and I, we begin to believe things based upon what we have heard. That's interesting that our nation, around the world, there are a lot of times two and three different schools of thought on situations. How do those come about? Well, many people, they've been raised up, they heard it this way, and they never thought of it the other way. Why? Because they never heard it the other way. And you and I have a responsibility before God to what? Pass it on what we've seen and we've heard. That which we deeply believe, we pass it on. Here are two spies that come. Now, what's interesting, she'd already heard through others what had happened in the land of Egypt. There were those who came back to Jericho and they said, man, down in Egypt there was these group of people, and as they were there, God just did some miraculous thing. All the armies of Egypt were drowned in the Red Sea. And the fear of these people traveled ahead of them. And so when these two spies get there, here's a woman that had heard these stories, but she had taken it farther than the rest of her brethren. She believed that God was responsible for it and that God was capable of these kinds of things. But not only did she recognize that, but we find that she recognized and reasoned out to herself that this God who did this also has a graciousness because she saw that He had delivered some people from bondage. She had heard the stories. Now she meets two men and she sees this thing in action before her very eyes. By the way, the world many times have heard about the Lord Jesus Christ, but God has sent you there not only to tell Him, but also to demonstrate it. Somebody said, well, I believe in lifestyle evangelism. I do too, but we need also lip style. But between those two things, as we give forth the Word of God and we live the Word of God, we find that people see that demonstrated and it does something in their hearts and their minds. And here's a woman, she put her faith in the God of Israel. I don't believe it was a blind faith. She'd seen the facts presented. She thought about them and she came to some conclusions. Isaiah, when he wrote his prophetic utterances, we find he says in chapter 1 and verse 18, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord, though your sins be as what? Scarlet. They shall be as white as snow, though they be red like crimson. They shall be as wool. What's he saying? He says, I want to reason with you. God wants to reason with you. God wants to show you the facts. You can think them through. And you can come to your conclusions, your belief, as a result of that. If you're saved this morning, you have come to the spot where you reasoned about the facts of your sin. You recognize you have sinned against a holy God. You have recognized that God is angry with your sin. But at the same time, you realized that God is also gracious. You also recognize that God is willing to extend mercy to you. And so by faith, not only did Rahab reason these things, and from the hearing of the Word of God, or from these men and from the experience she had, but we find also that that faith that she had now acquired brought her to the point where she requested mercy. Notice verse number 12 and 13 with me. It says, now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you also will show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren, my sisters and all they have, and deliver our lives from death. You know what she's saying? She said, I know that God is going to use you to bring judgment upon my peoples. But will your God have mercy upon me? And we find they make a covenant with her. God has made a covenant with us. We can find that covenant expressed so many different ways. My favorite is found in Romans 10, verse 13, For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, what? Shall be saved. That's a covenant. That's a promise. That is God saying, if you call upon me, I don't know if it has to be words. I don't know if it has to be a prayer. But somehow in our faith, we're calling upon God. And we're saying like that publican, be merciful unto me, O God, a sinner. And this woman has a covenant made. Now her covenant's kind of unusual. And the covenant that is made is between these men and this woman, but it's also between God and this woman, if we can see through all of this. And they say, take this cord that you're letting us down by, bind it in your window. And if that cord is in that window when we come, we will know which house it is. And we will not plunder your house. Now here's an interesting thing. When they came to Jericho, what did they do? They marched around the city 7 times. On 7 different days. Let me rephrase that. 6 different days. They marched around it each day. On the 7th day. This don't make sense to me. They're going to go into battle, and God instead hasn't gone around the city. By the way, how would you like to walk around the council bus? Most of you be tired out 1 time. Now, I don't think Jericho is that big, but we find that they marched around every day. On the 7th day, they marched around 7 times. I don't know about you. I'd be tired. Now I'm supposed to go to battle. But God did the battle for them. And the walls of Jericho fell down, except one spot. Interesting. By the way, excavation shows the walls of Jericho did not implode as if people came up and pushed them down. God wanted people many centuries later to understand He did it. The walls fell out. It basically exploded. And the Israelites had to climb up over the rubble into the town, which they did. And they conquered all those people. They were all killed except for those in that house that had the red cord around on the hanging out the window. Why a scarlet cord? Oh, God does some things miraculously, does He not? Is there not some reasons for that? Though your sins be as scarlet, He said, they shall white as snow. But more than that, I believe it's a picture of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed for you and for me. It's like the blood over the doorpost for the Jew when the death angel came and passed over. It's representative of our Savior. Now think about this for a moment. She had the cord. She had the window. But there was something that had to be done. You and I today have a Savior. We have the ability to call upon Him, but there is something that must take place. That cord, by faith, had to be let out the window. It's not going to be doing any good wrapped up at the base of the floor underneath the window sill. It's not going to do any good sitting in a box over in the corner somewhere. It's not going to be doing any good hanging along the walls as a decoration. And that's what we do so often in so-called Christianity. We make a decoration out of all the things, but we never make application. It had to be let out the window. You and I must accept the blood of Jesus Christ for the redemption of our sins. You and I must accept what He did for us upon the cross of Calvary. It must be applied, believing that we will be spared from the judgment that is coming. She was also to be in the house, separated from the world. When we're in Christ, we're out of the world. You can't be in both. It's one or the other. And so we find here, she made her request for mercy. And a covenant was made for her. And that cord was let out the window. I don't think she ever took it back in. I don't know. I think when they climbed down out of that window with that cord, she left it there. I don't know. But it was there when they got back. Did you notice something? They said, "Don't tell on us." You know, there's something that takes place amongst God's people when they get saved. There's a newfound loyalty amongst the people of God. Now, no, we're not always the best at it, but there is a newfound loyalty. Her faith made a request for mercy. Her faith, let's go a little bit farther, brought salvation to her household. Notice verse 18 with me. It says, "Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let down, by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren, all thy father's household," where? "Home unto thee." What did she have to do? She had to talk to her family. She had to tell them, "Hey, listen, there is an army coming. God is going to use them to wipe out our peoples. And they will save us. Listen, God is going to work through them. And we will be saved if we're in this house where the cord is hanging out of it." And you say, "Well, that wasn't a very good gospel message." It was all they needed. And her testimony was their only chance of redemption. Do you understand today? There are people that your testimony is the only chance they are ever going to have. You said there are others. They may not know any others. They may never hear it from any others. And her testimony of what was going to take place, and that they needed to be in the house when they saw the armies come. And her family gathered there with her. Saving faith always involves action, or it's valueless. I mean, when you get saved, there's things that happen. And one of those things, I think, is we're going to tell some others about Him. Book of James says this, "Will thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar?" Be careful now, don't get ahead of me on this. "Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect?" What's he saying? Faith shows itself through our works. Let's go a little farther. And the Scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Abraham believed God, but it caused him to do some things. Now he goes and he says, likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had them sent out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Rahab believed God. Rahab believed what God was going to do. Rahab sought the mercy of God, but she also, what did she do? Because of that faith, she invited her family to come into the house with her. And they were saved with her. If your faith doesn't cause you to walk with God, it must be dead and valueless. You need to reason that out too. Faith is not just an entity itself. It is believing in something. For the Christian, it's believing God. Believing what He said. There are folks that pick up our Bible and they look at it and they say, how do you know that's God's Word? And sometimes we foolishly try to say, well, I can prove it by this and I can prove it by that. When in the end, because I believe it is. Now, the reason I believe it is because I've seen God demonstrate it to me so many times. But I believed it. I've accepted it. And I have a reality in my soul with it. And so I pass it on to somebody else. And what's amazing is you don't have to try to prove the Word of God. Just be the Word of God. For that which you have inside can be conveyed outwardly. Rahab's faith brought her family to Christ. Let's go to one other person. His name was Lot. Lot was in the city of Sodom. God had to come to rescue Lot. And we find that some of Lot's family didn't listen to him. He said, judgment is coming. Why didn't they listen? Lot hadn't lived it. And he was like, to his son-in-laws, like one who mocked. Because they were now hearing something strange from him. And they did believe God. But he'd gotten his feet so much in the world. Some of his family didn't believe him. Matter of fact, his wife turned around and was turned to a pillar of salt. He got out with two daughters who had children by him. Are you a Rahab or a Lot? Do you live by faith? We purport that we have been saved by faith. Do we live by faith? Do we believe God as we really say? Maybe you're here today and you've never put your trust in the Lord. God wants to do for you what He did for Rahab. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You. Lord, we thank You that though You had Your chosen people, and there were those who were lost and under condemnation, Your grace was sufficient. For those who would believe You. Lord, we thank You for the all-sufficient grace of God. We thank You for that wondrous mercy that You show to us. And Lord, we thank you that we've had the privilege to hear the great message of God. And for many in this room, maybe not, maybe most, maybe all, have believed that message. But Lord, I fear for someone here that maybe you've heard, but never really taken it to heart. Never really reasoned about it. Never really actively put the cord out the window. Really realized that salvation was for them. Simply by believing what Jesus did for them on the cross of Calvary. I pray today you'll work in hearts. Lord, for those of us who have been saved, that we might look within and ask ourselves, if we have the cord in our window, would our friends and neighbors join us? Or are we like a Lot? God, work in our hearts. Bless in these moments, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.